Well, that was not the plan. The plan today was that we were going to have a massive end of summer bash in one of the most beautiful parks in our city. Kids playing in the park, jumping all over the place, eating hot dogs and hamburgers and drinking drinks and just having a blast. That was not the plan. Good morning. It's great to see all of you. And this morning, we're going to use that as an opportunity to do a Bible study and settle our hearts and our minds as we go deeper in our relationship with our great God. It's only appropriate that we go to our Father in prayer this time to continue in our worship this morning. Let us pray. Father, we're just so grateful to come before you, knowing that you're absolutely in control. And to know that nothing can happen if you've not willed, ordained, or allowed it. And Father, it is with that confidence that we come before you this morning, giving our all to you in whatever circumstances that is. And Father, we're thankful that we're even able to worship together during this pandemic, be it on Zoom. And Father, we long for the day when we can be together and see each other's faces and sing together and hear each other sing. And Father, really be encouraged in our hearts. In the meanwhile, Father, we will give all of our hearts to you as we study your word. And Father, we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. Above everything else, Father, we're grateful for the death of Christ because it brought life to us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, there are a lot of things that we have not planned in our lives. And there are times we can have a response to it that are incredibly varied. This morning, I wanted to use the opportunity that we had an end of summer bash planned and to do a Bible study to get some insight. And how do we respond to something that was not our plan? Now, I want to throw a caveat into this lesson. I'm not talking about being something going awry because we're undisciplined, meaning we didn't plan accordingly, we didn't leave at the right time, or we left with no time to spare, and because of that, it didn't go to plan. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking here tonight. That's another lesson for another time. With the idea of us being able to just making up for things because of not being a good planner or being undisciplined. But I'm talking about in other circumstances. You know, even as I think in my own life, as I was growing up and I started attending the University of Toronto when I was 19 years old, I was a student there, and I was approached, and I started studying the Bible, and I started following Christ. And then, certainly my plan was to go to law school, have a law MBA program, and that we were going to make a lot of money, that we was going to be someone who I was going to get married to. That was the plan. That's not what happened. I went into the ministry shortly after graduation. I deferred my acceptance into law school. The plan changed. The person that I'd envisioned getting married to, meaning when I had made something up in my mind, was not the person I got married to. It was something better. Amen. It was someone better that I got married to. So some plans don't work out that we first concocted in our minds. Some turn out better. Or we didn't plan after 6 months of being married to move to a different country, to a different city, to train to go into the full-time ministry and to come back and lead a large congregation in Toronto. That was not the plan, but that's what happened. And even when we went there, the plan was to train there for 6 months and to come back and lead the church that met in Toronto. That's not what happened. After 6 months, we were not ready to come back and lead the congregation. And after 11 months, we were ready. And we came back 11 months later after we landed there in December 31st, 1992. We came and we started leading the church in Toronto effectively 1994, January 1. And we said, okay, we've got to figure it out. We're going to plant churches in Canada. We're going to evangelize coast to coast from Newfoundland all the way to British Columbia. In the next 7 years, we planted 6 churches, and we had a training program in a Toronto church that ultimately saw, even by sight, how we were going to plant all these churches all across Canada. And so we planted Ottawa and Calgary in 1995, and then in 1997, Winnipeg and Halifax, and then in 2001, Hamilton and Edmonton, and the plan was coming into fruition. Then in June of 2001, we were asked to go and lead the church in Chicago. That was not the plan. And then 8 years later to go to Boston. That was not the plan. And then 7 years after, we moved to Boston, 2 years to San Antonio. And we thought, okay, we've got to figure it out. We're going to stay in San Antonio 5 to 7 years, make some money, and come back to Canada and live out the rest of our Christian life. Eventually, our thought was to move back to Toronto, which is where our family is, meaning our parents and our brothers and sisters. But we got the call, and we came to Ottawa. And our lives was not what we planned. That was not the plan. Some of those plans turned out to be fantastic, better than we thought or could even imagine. Even coming here to Ottawa, it was better than we thought or could even imagine. Not only do we enjoy the church, we knew that, but we enjoy the city immensely. Some plans was not what we envisioned on the negative side. That was not the plan. I'm telling you, we, Melly and I, thought, planned with some other brothers and sisters what was going to happen today, that we were going to have the kids playing in the park, a short devotional, have them involved in the worship, sing kids' songs. We bought hundreds of dollars of food, and we had who was going to set up what, who was going to do the barbecuing, who was going to do the games, who was going to do all these things. Massive, massive plans. As a matter of fact, we changed plans just to coordinate around the central day of having the end of summer bash for the Ottawa church. And then rain. I mean, we thought, we saw the forecast, we thought, man, what was going to happen? And then Melly and I went early this morning to the park to try and secure a gazebo just in case the weather got a little better. Maybe we'll be able to have the plan. So we got up at 6 o'clock this morning. We said, okay, let's get to the park. We go to the park and all the gazebos are taken. Some people went there at 5 o'clock this morning for some of the gazebos. Some people slept over. All of this is not supposed to happen. Meaning you're not supposed to do that. Because during this COVID, you can't reserve those gazebos through the parks. You have to go there and quote unquote claim it. And so we had our car packed with food and we had all these plans and things didn't materialize. What do we do? And for sure, sometimes we have some things and it doesn't go to plan. Oh, well, sometimes we go and we have some things that don't go to plan, and it's pretty disappointing. Today was pretty disappointing. And because we had all these plans, how do we respond? How are we supposed to think like this? Not necessarily about the end of summer bash, but I want to use that as a springboard to talk about when things don't go according to plan. Of course, with the caveat that I mentioned earlier, not because of not being undisciplined, but because of other reasons. And so let's examine a couple of scenarios, and hopefully you'll be encouraged and inspired this morning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read a situation where Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica, and this is what he says in verse 17 through 20. He says, "But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short while, in person, not in thought," I love the poetry of that. Paul writes that they felt orphaned, not because they were deserted by their parents, because their family was not with them. And he said, obviously, only in person, not in thought. "Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown, in which we glory in the presence of our Lord when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." And Paul writes here, and he talks about the idea that he intended to come and visit, not once, at least twice, on a number of occasions. And it did not materialize. Now, Paul is a lot more important person than me. And he had some plans. And it did not materialize in the way that he intended. And what happened was he wasn't able to visit the disciples there in Thessalonica in the way that he wanted, in that he wanted to see them face to face. By the way, a little side note here. It is my absolute conviction that the future of church is not online. This is purely a temporary measure. And, you know, I've heard some inklings of people in some congregation in the name of being relatable in future. That's the way they plan on doing church. And I'm sorry, I don't see that concept of remote discipleship. As a matter of fact, when Paul saw that, he said, "This is not how we intend on how we have to have a relationship." Anyways, that's a different discussion for another time. But the idea here is that Paul had some plans. The great and awesome apostle Paul had some plans that did not materialize in the way that he wanted it to materialize. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 with the same concept. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read about this idea as well in verse 12. Paul had some plans to visit the church in Corinth, and he had some specific ways in which he was going to accomplish visiting the church in Corinth, the church that he had helped to start and plant and mature. And he says this in verse 12, from verses 12 to 19, he says this: "Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so not relying on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that as you've understood us in part, you will come to fully understand that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of our Lord Jesus." And here Paul writes the same concept again. Says, hey, when I write you a letter, when we have a relationship remotely, there's a level of intimacy we can have. But that's not the full intimacy. You're going to get to know me fully when we see each other face to face. There's that idea there, different level of intimacy when we do things remotely on the phone, email, letters, Zoom, live stream. And then there's a different level of intimacy when we actually see each other face to face. We continue. Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or did I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I said both yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him has always been yes. Paul writes and he says, I had some plans. The plans was, while we was going to Macedonia, I'll see you. When I'm coming back from Macedonia, we'll see you again. That's our plan. It didn't materialize. And he says, I just want you to understand, this is not because I am just someone that's flying by the seat of their pants. That's not because I just made some plans in a very, very, in a manner that is unthoughtful. It's a manner that exposes my fickleness, if you would. Rather, no. What we had planned did not materialize. He says, because our relationship with God is always one that leads us in triumphal procession. That it's not yes and no, maybe, it's always yes. Now, that's an interesting disposition, because he just talked about how he planned on visiting them, which was a yes, if you would. And then there was a no when he didn't visit them. And he says, because in Christ, it's always yes. Meaning that when we're in with God, there is an ultimate disposition that allows us to be in the affirmative in our relationship with God. And Paul writes it, he says, it wasn't what I had planned. Now, how do we respond? How do we do when things don't go and get really, really disappointed? I'm not talking about whether or not I intended, you know, to buy a Kit Kat in the store and they didn't have any Kit Kats, so I had to buy Coffee Crisp, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking significant things. And Paul's disposition was, hey, listen, let's not lose our minds over this. Because what had happened in the church, in why he needed to write the second letter in Corinthians, one of the reasons why, is that some of the disciples were now talking to Paul and about him in a manner that was unflattering. And they were questioning his apostleship. They were questioning his authority with them. They were questioning who he was and whether or not they could trust him and actually entrust themselves to him. Because some plans that he had didn't materialize. But Paul's disposition is to use that occasion as an opportunity to talk about who we are in Christ, whose we are in Christ, and how do we respond in this case when things don't go according to plan. Because what can happen sometimes, there are a lot of plans that we have. The person that we plan on getting married to, suddenly that relationship doesn't work out. That we plan on having kids, and that doesn't work out. I got to tell you, there's a couple that Melanie and I had studied the Bible with in Boston. And we studied the Bible with them, then we married them, and then they wanted to have children. And then they started, they had children, had a couple of miscarriages. And then there was one when they got a child, that was all the way to the 8th, to the 9th month. And then we got the phone call that nobody wants to get. And the phone call was, can you guys come to the hospital? And the baby was stillborn. It was one of the most painful experiences that we have had in our lives. As the baby who was born, Christina was her name, had died. And was in the mother's arms, literally in the palm of the hands. That was not the plan. When some of the miscarriages happened, it was a little understandable. When it got to full term, they were excited. How do we do with those disappointments? The school that we want to get into didn't respond favorably. That relationship that we so badly want is not materializing or is not working out the way, and so on. And the job that I was longing for, that I believe in all my heart that I deserve, somebody else that we feel did not deserve it got it. Or my health is not panning out the way that I wanted to. I'm not losing weight fast enough, or I'm not gaining weight fast enough. My hair is falling out too quickly. My hair is not growing long enough, or it's growing too quickly. Too many pimples too quickly, whatever. Some of these are whatever. Some of these are incredibly important. How do we deal with things when they don't go to plan? Paul paints a perspective and he says, it's always yes in Christ. It always works out. By the way, this is not the only time in Thessalonica or in Corinth. I mean, read about it in Romans as well. Paul wanted to go and he says he was hindered to come. Here's the great apostle Paul having plans, the most successful missionary ever, had plans in a number of situations that did not materialize in the way that he planned it. How did he respond to these things? What was his disposition? He says, hey, by the way, I want you to understand, when plans change, it still doesn't throw us off in who our God is. It's always still yes in Christ. The first time he said Satan prevented us. You know, one of the things that to help us to understand and paint perspective is to realize that this is a spiritual battle. Sometimes in our physical state, we don't realize the spiritual battle that is before us. I wanted to spend a couple of minutes here painting a picture of a spiritual battle that was outlined in the book of Daniel. And then we'll wrap it up to when Paul was writing his second letter there in 2 Corinthians. In Daniel chapter 10, we read about the fact about this spiritual battle. And that's what Paul said. One of the reasons he wasn't allowed to go was that Satan prevented him. And we'll get a picture of this spiritual battle here in a second. In Daniel chapter 10, in verses 1, we'll read quite a bit of section here, and so that we get the context of the whole story. Verses 1 through 14. He says this. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Upaz around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face was like lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice was like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. And then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. What an amazing story. Here's one of the greatest prophets written, who wrote the book of Daniel, helps us to understand this scenario. Daniel was a man who was praying and fasting. And he was praying that he would get a revelation as to what was going on and what's going to happen. And he was completely in sync with his God. He was praying and fasting. You know, sometimes I think it's so interesting, and I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Sometimes when things aren't happening, it's then we start praying and fasting, hoping that God will have a quote unquote breakthrough. But Daniel was praying, Daniel was fasting, and yet the angel who was dispatched to him was detained for the same amount of time that he was praying and fasting, for 21 days. And he painted this picture of this tremendous 21-day battle until the archangel Michael came to help him out. Not just any angel needed to come. One of the archangels needed to come and help him out in this spiritual battle. That's why I think sometimes we view God as a cosmic bellhop, and we think when we ring the bell, he has to come immediately. And we get this North Americanized mindset of customer care that if I have to wait on the phone for longer than 15 seconds, what is wrong with this company? It's the same way sometimes when we're at McDonald's and we have to wait in line for longer than 35 seconds. That there's something wrong with this restaurant. Do we think God is the same way, that when I ring that cosmic bellhop and he doesn't respond to me right away, what is wrong? Am I not praying hard enough? Am I not fasting long enough? Am I too much in sin? What is going on? And sometimes we're unaware of the battle, and that's what we see here happening with Daniel. One of the most powerful prophets of old. And he had to be explained to, in regard to the spiritual battle that was at hand. You see, when things don't happen the way that we planned on them happening, Sometimes we go into a tailspin emotionally, and dare I say, even spiritually. And we lose the mindset that this is a spiritual war. And sometimes there's a battle that we can't even see. Sometimes that battle, if we were to actually see what's going on, it will freak us out. You know, somebody we were talking the other day, and someone said, man, if we really understood the corruption that happens in government, we would lose our faith in all forms and level of government. If we were to really see what's going on, if we were to really sometimes see what goes on spiritually, we probably could not handle it. And so Daniel needed to understand, hey, sometimes we got to understand there's a battle. When things don't go the way that we plan, that I envision. When Paul thought the greatest planner of missionary and planting of churches and strengthening of churches, he had some plans and he said, this is what we think is best in my wisdom, in my experience, in who, what I've done in my past. This is what I think is going to be best, and it doesn't materialize. And it can throw us into a tailspin, and we lose perspective to realizing, first of all, is this a spiritual battle? Let me throw this in again, because I know I've done enough counseling where people who don't plan accordingly are undisciplined. Read the situation in the wrong way. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not like Daniel and Paul were undisciplined in their disposition. Paul clearly wanted the church in Corinth to understand that. Daniel clearly was not undisciplined, was very spiritual, was very in tune, was very connected. And yet it was not, hey, this is what I'm doing. And so God needs to respond immediately. That was not the plan. And so we go back to 2 Corinthians, and we wrap up today's thoughts with the purpose for which Paul was writing the church in Corinth. And he gives his thesis, if you would. He gives his, hey, let me help you to understand all that's happening, right? The challenges that you're going through, that my plan's not coming to fruition than we first started. I mean, I want to paint the idea of the challenges that you're going through to help address, to have a perspective, to have a disposition that is a spiritual one that ultimately reaps the disposition that it's always yes in Christ. It's not a no and a yes. And so that we're confused. And this is how he helps them to understand that. And I believe in verses 3 and following. He says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. And so Paul paints this picture. He says, guys, the challenges that we go through, the incredible pressures that we feel, the discomfort and the pain and the sufferings. And I want you to understand, we endured some immense sufferings. As a matter of fact, such sufferings that we thought we were going to die. We despaired even of life. We gave up hope of living. We didn't think we were going to survive. And then he zones in and he helps them to understand now. He paints a perspective in verse 9 and says, indeed, we felt the sentence. We received the sentence of death. But this happened in verse 9, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul writes and he says, sometimes uncertainty, sometimes we're pressed up against the wall. Sometimes we despair of life. Sometimes the plans that we have did not come to fruition. Sometimes we are beating our chest and wondering, why is my child not responding to the gospel? Wondering, why is my spouse not responding to the gospel? Wondering, why me being such a good husband or a good wife, and my husband or wife is being such a difficult person? Why, God, why? Paul writes and he says, these things happen so that we can be comfort to those people at times who need comfort, to give peace and compassion to those when we ourselves endure those times, ultimately, because we need not to rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Wow. What happens when the things don't go to plan? What happens when we're deeply disappointed? The Bible gives us at least a couple of dispositions. That one, it may be a spiritual battle. Can you imagine if Daniel gave up after the 20th day? That a time, this is not a sprint. This relationship that we have with God is not one based on microwave Christianity. You put it in and then in 30 seconds later, it's all working properly and it's all cooked up. Or it's like a cosmic bellhop. We ring the bell and somebody rushes to my every whim. Sometimes there's a spiritual battle that's at hand that we can't see. Sometimes we're allowed to go through things so that we can rely and become deeper in our spirituality and our hope sinks firmer into Christ. And we rely not on ourselves, but on God who saves us and raises the dead. Sometimes it's preparing us for something that is to come down the road. Have you ever seen those videos? I have, where people are weightlifting and they're lifting their weight and they pull a muscle, or at times even their arms rip out from themselves. They were lifting a weight that they weren't trained for. How do you know that we're not being trained for something when we go through deep, deep hurts and challenges in our lives that will prepare us even for more difficult things ahead? And that's what Paul writes and says, guys, don't be fickle and say yes and no and yes and no and toss back and forth. He says that it's always yes in Christ. And so the disposition that we take on with our lives, and today was, you know, was a springboard that I wanted to at least give this thought for us today. The challenges that you're going to, who knows, maybe it's to help someone down the road that is close and dear to you. Who knows, maybe it's for a greater challenge that you're being prepared for later on in your life, so that when you lift the weight, your limbs wouldn't be ripped from you, so to speak. And it absolutely could lead you to being crushed. You see, today, we're not those that are saying yes and no and flip-flop and are fickle in our faith. Because in Christ, it's always yes. Just sometimes the timing is different. The timing is different. And so while we had all these plans and we had it all figured out, so to speak, and yes, it was going to be a great day, we know in Christ, ultimately, it's yes. And if I get perturbed and I get too disturbed and so disappointed because things didn't go the way I wanted to go or the way that you wanted to go, then we make it about us. And it isn't really about us, is it? It's ultimately about things that happen to ultimately be a source of comfort, compassion, safe place for others. Even if those things that we go through can lead us to a place where we despair even of life. Paul writes and he says, we don't even give up then. I can't tell you how many times I talk with people who says, man, I thought becoming a Christian and this would, all these things would go away. Sometimes they will, sometimes they don't. God is sanctifying us. He's forming us. He's creating us the imago Deo. He's creating us the image of God again. He's forming us in us, the formation and the creation of Christ using these opportunities that are presented before us. And so when things don't go to plan, it's okay. Is it a spiritual war? Is there a battle? Is our angel fighting a fierce battle and that we just don't need to give up? Is it something we can learn from to be an inspiration and encouragement to others? And not viewing God as this cosmic bellhop, but to go firmer and deeper in our faith. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Next week, we'll try again. That's our plan. That we'll have the end of summer bash next week at Sandy Hill Park. And so that's where the plan is going to be at 11 a.m. Again, that's our plan. And so I look forward to seeing you there. For those who are in the Ottawa area, for those who are joining us online, we look forward to seeing you again. And certainly if you're joining us for the first time, we certainly want to welcome you. We have what we call family groups in the area around the Ottawa area where we, after this, people gather together to have communion together. And so if you want to join us, please reach out to us. But we're so grateful that we were able to gather together while not exactly the way we planned. At least we're able to do this today. What we see in part, hopefully one day, we will understand in full. May God bless us as we continue to deepen our conviction, firmly securing our faith in Him, even when that was not the plan. God bless you.